Hello, lovely podcast people. I hope you're well. Back with another podcast, doing well. This is actually a guest appearance with Jeff Hone from Mind Muscle Connection podcast. Just quickly before I talk to you about that, probably when this has just been released, if you are listening from Australia or Singapore or want to travel to my talks, the tour talk and then my new aggressive diet coaching seminar. It's still the early bird for a couple more days, so grab your ticket. I've had quite a few questions from people in the UK and America who are, or even in those places, who aren't able to attend the seminar. So at the seminar, people, as part of attending, will be getting access to the brand new version of my aggressive dieting calculator. And people are asking, you know, if I can't make it, can I still get my hands on this? The answer is yes. When it's released, it's going to be a paid product. Obviously, it's helped over 6,000 people now for free. And the newest, you know, I've been refining it, adding to it. And so the new version will be part of some sort of package, and you'll get access to it, lifetime access to it, and any kind of updates and those kind of things. So yes, please rest assured, it will be there for you, even if you can't make it to the talks. I'm going to be discussing this on my social media a bit, some of the elements of it, the refeed elements, the ability to change the suggested calorie intake to something that you know works better for you. So as you get more advanced, or if you're a coach working with clients, being able to adjust that, and therefore the calculator taking into account your adjustments with regards to its recommendations, whether that means you're at increased risk of lean body mass loss, and therefore it will adjust the magnitude and the frequency of things like refeeds. And it will tell you how to do those refeeds as well. So yeah, all of these kind of new additions to the old calculator. If you are someone, I'll probably send you all an email. I think I've got all of you tagged somehow on special email marketing software, if you're one of those people. But if you have any success stories or anything like that, I'm probably going to reach out to people. Lots of people have got in contact with kind of how it's helped them, how they've been using it in their business. And it's just nice for me to hear those things. And again, any I use, I will always repay any favors that anyone gives me in life with interest. So yeah, if you're one of those people, reach out to me, talk to me. But yes, I hope to see loads of you in Sydney and Perth and Singapore, and you know, everywhere still on my list, people in Canada, my Toronto and New York. You know, Toronto talk in Canada, my New York talk that got cancelled. So some, look out for some America dates. And yes, without further ado, I'll leave you to this podcast with Jeff. It's a cool one. It's two parts, actually. So you'll get the first part now and I'll do you another intro. So I won't bore you with it. But some quite nice insights, I guess, into me. Some of the questioning was interesting. Maybe a different route to usual. Talking a bit, this is a podcast I recorded a little while ago, but actually very recently I've been talking about some of the topics of normal weight gain over time, and something that I feel like lots of discussions, people forget that it's a very normal occurrence. Not normal that it's inevitable, but it's very normal in today's society for people to gain weight year on year, and how that happens seasonally. And it's a good discussion for coaches and clients both to understand with regards to what success looks like. So if you're someone who's been gaining weight, 1 to 5 kilos per year previously, and then you embark on a new lifestyle, exercise program, eating differently, and you don't gain any weight, you are 5 kilos potentially better off, even if you maintain. People complaining, oh, I only lost this, whatever. So yes, I hope you enjoy this. Hope you are happy to have me back inside your ears. Until next time, much love.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Mind Muscle Connection podcast. And today I have a very special guest, Martin McDonald. He is the CEO and founder of the Mac Nutrition Collective, is also the host of the podcast, Not Another Nutrition Podcast. And lastly, he's a devoted father who loves nutrition and loves educating others through social media and public speaking. So Martin, thank you for coming on today.
No, you're very welcome. That's a nice, I almost wish we were doing video. I'm smiling hard at that. It's nice when people do a little bit of an intro, and I like that you included the father thing. That's cool. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for coming on. I know that you're a very busy guy and obviously you have a lot going on. We'll dive into that. But yeah, I feel like I follow you on social media and I know you post a lot about your kids, and I feel like that is important because I think it helps you relate to people a lot more that are in that position too, right? And so definitely wanted to include that on there.
Yeah, cool. Thanks.
And also I wanted to say too, Martin is going through some Wi-Fi issues, so he had to join on his phone today, but I appreciate him, still sticking through it and coming on it and speaking. So really appreciate that.
Yeah. I really hope it holds out. Well, fingers crossed it will.
Yes. Usually I've only had an issue a couple times with everything, but I don't want to jinx anything. So let's get moving on.
Okay.
So like I do with most new guests, I just like to go over kind of your background a little bit. So if there's anything, if somebody's not familiar with you that you maybe want to share with them, and then we can roll from there.
Great. Yeah. So my original background is I started myself as a performance nutritionist, and my interest was very, very heavily sport. My own personal interest was kind of, I suppose, real sport, and then went to, I snapped my ACL, and I've always been interested in muscles and body composition as a, I don't know, 15, 16 year old. I saved up for Arnold Schwarzenegger's Encyclopedia of Bodybuilding, which is an expensive book when you're 16 years old. So I started competing in natural bodybuilding at late 17, 18 years old. And that really brought my interest more towards body composition as opposed to just sport. But yeah, I went through the typical academic degree and master's and ended up doing a postgraduate in clinical nutrition as well, because at the time, because it's, I just loved / love nutrition. I think I say loved because I was obsessed, whereas I feel like I've got a bit more life balance now that I have children. But even then, people now ask me so many questions about, you know, how I do nutrition for my kids. But then it even goes on to just in general parenting, because I parent quite purposefully. I call it parenting on purpose and conscientious parenting. So, you know, I've got other things, but my whole life just revolved around nutrition. So everything I did from performance nutrition was then just meeting people at social occasions, talking to me about nutrition. So then helping members of the general public. And so you end up meeting people who have got clinical issues. So I went down and did a bit of further education there. But yeah, Mac Nutrition, my consultancy, was born. And that, you know, was running for years and years, doing everything from corporate nutrition, kind of workplace wellness, working with athletes, elite athletes, hobby athletes, the whole range, general population individuals. And that kind of continued until I love education. I was actually a university lecturer for many years, and I didn't like the red tape. So I just, you know, a way of, when I left, of keeping up my teaching and public speaking, which is another passion of mine, was to, you know, educate and put on talks and seminars. And eventually in 2016, that became Mac Nutrition Uni, which is really all I've been doing now for the last six years, is this 12-month qualification that just has become everything I do, you know, in terms of I'm now a whatever you want to call it, a founder, a CEO, a manager of people, all my staff and the team at Mac Nutrition. To essentially create what's become, you know, I don't want to sound too conceited, but I think and truly believe the world's best nutrition qualification. That I suppose is probably one reason you came to know me potentially. And, you know, the reason for kind of people have found me more on social media and all these kind of things. So that really takes us up to today.
Awesome. Yeah. So I do know you through Mag Nutrition. I personally have not taken it yet, but it's definitely one that I feel like, as far as other coaches in the industry, like, it's definitely always one of the top two or three, or top one, two or three that people will recommend in terms of, hey, if you're looking for nutrition certification, this is it. So yeah, no, that's really cool. And again, I think Mac Nutrition, like I said, is one of the top ones. I know, like, there's a few people, like, for example, I remember AJ Morris years ago was one that kind of promoted it. And, I just never got around to doing it, as I was already in a, university setting for that, but it's definitely one that I do that is on my radar for sure. And so I know for that, the enrollments are opening for it in a few weeks, and places are always filling quickly. So what would you say to someone deciding between MNU and any other courses out there? You know, how's it different?
Yeah. The enrollments, we've gone down to one intake per year. We used to do two. And so now it's, you know, a September start, like a year long course, obviously 12 months, and people can do it. I think now someone asked me this recently, actually, I should really look it up. It's either 65 or 80 different countries we're in now. So it's growing at such a rate. and in 30 of those countries, we now have, I suppose to answer your question, you know, why should they choose Mac Nutrition? Well, Mac Nutrition Uni, I should say, MNU, is in at least 30 of those countries, we have these bespoke insurance policies that allow people to practice as a fully qualified nutritionist, able to do nutrition interventions with their clients in person in their country, but also online globally. So with the new normal, where lots of people are doing so much more online, it's really great that our policies allow you to kind of practice with these clients globally, you know, helping them with their nutrition. I do like putting down some qualifications because, and like you sort of alluded to, I don't like putting down those kind of top one, two or three half decent ones that are out there. But there are just so many bad ones out there that people, it hurts my soul when someone comes to me and say, you know, I spent $8,000 or $6,000, whatever dollars on this integrative course. And they just taught me this rubbish. And I realized halfway through, they were just really teaching me how to sell supplements or these myths that exist within the industry, these non-evidence-based practices, that unfortunately they want people to buy into them because they seem so fancy and they seem like they'll help you help people maybe. And they seem, I think it's the fancy side of things. It's like, oh, I don't just want the basic stuff. I want to know the advanced stuff. And so they touch on this area of holistic and integrative nutrition, which, you know, more and functional nutritional, the sort of functional medicine stuff, which, you know, I don't want to completely put down anything that's outside of very typical mainstream nutrition, because I think very often we have the other end of the spectrum with nutrition and dietetics taught at university, and it's maybe taught in too much of a myopic fashion or too much of a narrow view of nutrition, forgetting some of the nuances of inter-individual variation between individuals and the differences in just personal preferences, rather than, you know, away from genetic differences, but just different ways people like to eat. And in terms of public health guidelines, you get this. One of the reasons we don't accredit with any of the big bodies is because they want you to teach based on basically public health messaging, which, dependent on the country you're in, makes it very, very singular tract in terms of you have to use this food pyramid or you have to use this eat well plate, versus other countries like I think France, maybe Japan, some of their like food guidelines are so simple, it's unbelievable. And they are literally just, they don't give you specifics, and you should base all of your meals on these starchy carbohydrates, and it's pretty much just like, eat a balanced diet, eat a varied diet, and eat according to your energy needs, which really on the global scale is all you can say about people. People shouldn't have, you must eat carbohydrate at every meal. Like, that isn't an evidence-based statement, but really that is what we get given these public guidelines. So yeah, I like to get rid of the intricate rubbish stuff and hate on them, I suppose, is the internet speak. But there are other good ones out there, but we are just, it does sound conceited, doesn't it, to say that we are the best. But you know, you ask the big names, the big people who endorse our course that are willing to put their name to it. And it's, we do everything in terms of our student support. It's 365 days a year. You're not just doing an online certification. You really are. We know, you know, people by name. We know if they're the person who asks loads of questions. We know if they're the person who just lurks around. We know they're the person who overthinks stuff and almost gets themselves worried because they are really, you know, one of these people who wants to know every little detail. And on top of that, we support people long-term. You know, once they're graduates, we've got this big push at the minute in terms of supporting our graduates with their businesses. So lots and lots of the big online coaching companies, we've had kind of diabetes, organizations, or I'm trying to think of the right terminology, but basically, essentially diabetes through the NHS here in the UK, for instance, you can be part of a scheme, I suppose, diabetes schemes. There you go. wanting to recruit, MNU graduates to help support the sort of these diabetes remission programs. And so it's just continually like we are supporting our graduates with regards to actually getting their careers. I think that's one big thing that people kind of say to me is, you know, I went and did my degree at university, but one, I didn't come out knowing how to work with people. So our whole course is like, right, how to be a practitioner, how to do things, how to do consultations. And then on top of that, how to then get clients and what jobs to get or how to set up yourself. So, I think our just support and our care is just above and beyond anything else that exists out there. You know, one day someone might come and try and rival us on that. But I tell you what, they need to know how much hard work goes into supporting a few hundred students 365 days a year. It's a lot of work.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, so it sounds like, you know, with this course too, it's also going to be something that like, you're going to learn kind of the science behind it, but it's also not a one way to do things, right? Because that is, I feel like that's where things like, for example, any certification you take, I feel like a lot of them are going to just kind of tell you what to do and not necessarily how to do it. Right. And I think that that's a big thing that especially when it comes to nutrition, you know, I think that that's what people struggle with the most, at least in my experience working with people. And it is so individual, right? Like you said, some people just like to eat certain ways. And so I think that teaching that part is super important. And that's really cool that you guys focus on that side of things as well. You know, basically it sounds like the coaching side of things, you guys are also really trying to help with as well.
Yeah, not just the theory. Like you're so right in terms of people often think the word evidence-based, which we push hard, they think that just means just science-based. But actually evidence-based is what you've said there in terms of being a coach, using your practitioner expertise to select the right methods for the person. So I probably should have said the word evidence-based a bit more there, but I just guess people almost know that I'm going to say that because that's all I ever say online. But yeah.
Well, and the fact too that you guys help with the support afterwards is what I think is important too, because I think a lot of times that you also get the false assumption that, hey, you take the cert and then you're just going to get all these clients. But you know, at the end of the day, that's also the hard part too, is getting those clients too.
Big time. Yeah. And unfortunately people are starting to prey. One of my big bugbears at the minute is all these people suddenly turning to business coaches, or, you know, they're an online coach or a personal trainer or nutritionist. And suddenly, you know, they've been doing it for 12 months and they're suddenly, oh, I'm a mentor, I'm a business coach. You know, they've worked with like 50 clients themselves and suddenly they're teaching other people to run businesses. It's like, that's my new bugbear that's not nutrition specific, but
I love it. Well, and then lastly, though, the other thing too that I feel like is good that I've obviously read up on Mac Nutrition is, I know from my understanding, you guys do the 12 months, but then also it's not just like one of the, because I know there are certifications out there where it's like just an easy test, right? Like you can literally just look up answers and do the test. Yeah. Right? With this one, it's a little bit tougher. Not that that's, you know, I, I think that's a good thing though, right? It's not like, hey, you're just going to show up and you're going to pass. Like you have to put in the work as well to pass this as well.
Yeah. I did actually think one of the things I was going to say when you said about what do we do that's different is the other thing we do is we regulate our graduates. And I'm passionate about that, even though it's a really horrible part of my job. You know, if people go off the beaten track and they become non-evidence-based, they get sold a line, they, you know, a few years down something, you know, or they just, you know, people change, people start chasing money. We had a student who just, he sold out. And it was, I really liked him. And, you know, we treat everyone with respect. I sort of contacted him and said, you know, what's happened? What are you doing? And he just basically was like, I don't care. I'm making loads of money doing this. And I was like, oh, it was painful. You know, I sort of feel like our strapline is wisdom, confidence, integrity. And he just had lost all of his integrity. So we do regulate our graduates. And it's part of that thing of having a qualification that people respect. So it isn't just pick up a textbook, read it and take a test. You are right. It not being a walk in the park or a taken part, you know, turn up and pass course. It is a good thing. It unfortunately, I think, puts some people off because, and lots of nice people who kind of lack a bit of self-confidence. They're like, oh, I don't want to do it. And they send us emails. Oh, you know, I'm worried I'll fail the exams. I'm like, geez, you've not even signed up. And you're already worrying. Like, I wish I could just kind of shake them and just say, believe in yourself. Like if you work hard, it's not a super, super academic course. I didn't want it to be that. It teaches you how to be a brilliant practitioner. We don't force you to, you know, like when I did my degree, like you did loads of physiology and loads of biochemistry and learning about the energy systems and like everyone's favorite, the Krebs cycle. And it's like, we don't go into that because who in their right mind has ever coached anyone has needed to talk about glucose 6-phosphate and fructose 6-phosphate? Like no one, who cares? It's not turn up and pass. There are four exams. They do test people, but they just test if you've learned the information. It's not hard to learn. It's not super over sciencey. It's just understanding really what stuff that we're going to talk about in our podcast today. If someone listens to this podcast and they get most of it, they'll be all right.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sure people probably think that, you know, the testing part is like going to be like something they did like at university or whatever, where it is going to be super sciencey. But like you said, you just have to believe in yourself. And I think that's for some people that's a struggle, but cool. Was there anything else you wanted to let the audience know about MAC Nutrition or anything like that?
No, all good. I think it's been really nice to talk about it and let people know, but I suppose if people want to, are interested, like I said, enrollment start on 13th of July, drop us an email, MNU for MAC Nutrition Uni at MAC-nutrition.com. And you know, my staff are absolutely lovely people. Just tell them what your career plans are, what your life situation currently is, and they will basically engineer the best situation for you, whether that is doing MAC Nutrition Uni or we'll recommend what other course or degree you need to do that. So if people want to do that, just contact us and we'll help you out.
Fantastic. Yeah. We'll, at the end of this, we'll go over that as well, where they can find you and whatnot. And then I'll also link all that in the show notes too. So they can obviously find you guys there through that as well. So cool. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll probably bring up MAC Nutrition another point throughout this talk today, but the next thing that I'd like to go over with new guests too, and we'll probably maybe hit on this a little bit quicker is current training and nutrition. I'd love just kind of diving into that and seeing what that's like. So is there anything that you are currently working towards or what does that look like for you?
So currently I'm in a fairly maintenance-ish consistent routine with my nutrition. I use these prep meals. So they're just so convenient for me. They're fairly gourmet. They're the nicest tasting prep meal. So I just eat them for all of my meals and it just keeps me sort of pretty consistent with hitting a really good variety of foods and a really good hit of protein on each meal. So I'm not looking to achieve a great deal at the minute, but it is supporting, you know, basically my life goal of more muscle, less fat, you know, like the holy grail. I just always want to be as big as possible. And not that that's everyone's goal, but, you know, for a kid who bought Arnold's book at 16, you can tell where my allegiances lie. I want to be jacked like a Greek god. Unfortunately, mostly have always just failed. you know, like, it's funny when people say to me, like, my ideal physique is like your Flex Wheeler of 1993. If anyone follows bodybuilding, you mentioned AJ Morris, so some of your followers might know a bit about bodybuilding, but I just like muscles. Like, I just think they're cool. So my training mostly represents someone who wants to gain muscle. I always train for kind of essentially hypertrophy. Weirdly, some of my followers know I'm not a big, because I don't want to compete anymore, I'm not that fussed on balance. But so recently I have started training legs properly, and it's just motivated me because I've seen some newbie gains, because I have trained legs hard in the past. I've not been recently. I've got back into it. So I'm getting these leg gains. So that's quite cool. And then I think just in the UK here, summer's coming up. I would love to go on holiday because I haven't really had any rest and relaxation for a long time. So it's just a chance for me to mess about with my nutrition. It's always a bit more motivating when you've got something to aim for. So I know you're aware of the kind of stuff I've done on rapid fat loss in the past. So I might do a bit of a rapid fat loss 2 to 3 weeks before going away. I always just sort of tend to document that on my Instagram stories. But yeah, right now, just being consistent.
Cool. Yeah. So kind of maintenance, you said, and then obviously just training to grow more muscle. Like you said, kind of that holy grail there. And I can totally relate to that. That's kind of what people always ask me too about my goals. It's like, I just want to keep building muscle. I'm the same way as you in that. I just, for one, I think it's obviously very aesthetically pleasing, but also the more I learn, I just feel like it's a very, obviously you can go too far with it, but as a natural person, we don't really necessarily have to worry about that. But I think overall, like it puts you in a good position to kind of manage the environment that we live in today as well, to continue to build muscle. I feel like at least have a good maintenance of muscle. So my question to you is, as far as like nutrition goes, you said you're doing like a meal plan, or not a meal plan. You have meal prep. Do you track like calories, macros? Do you track what you do, or do you just kind of more so just intuitive kind of approach to that?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting actually. So even I've moved away from tracking a lot in recent years. Even when I do rapid fat loss, I often tend towards not tracking. So I make jokes about, oh, I'm doing the eat as little as you can diet. And, you know, realistically, when you are doing, you know, aggressive dieting protocols, you don't need to track because you're eating so few calories and so few foodstuffs that you could guesstimate in a couple of minutes how many calories you've had that day because it's next to none. But so right now, because I use it's this company called Prep Kitchen UK, and all the meals are roughly about the same calories and macros. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't have a clue because I'm a big sweet eater. I love sweets. And so, you know, if I have the babies and I buy them some sweets, you know, I'll give them a few and then I'll buy a family bag, give them a few and finish the bag myself. I just love sweets. And, you know, I will eat sweets every single day, but just to massively varying degrees. So I honestly couldn't tell you, you know, plus or minus 500-700 calories, how many I have a day. But I suppose one thing that because sometimes people go, oh, well, when you've tracked for so many years, you always know roughly. And I'm like, genuinely, I have no clue. Because sometimes, some days as well, my PA will make me a smoothie and she, you know, she roughly eyeballs what goes in there, but some days I'll drink it and some days I won't. And so I really am led by truly intuitive, you know, listening to internal hunger cues. Like if I was someone who didn't choose healthy foods, I'd be someone with a completely random and probably fairly unhealthy diet because I am very hedonic. I'm just like, oh, I'm hungry, I want to eat that. But generally just the foods I have are these prep kitchen meals, which are super nutritious and nutrient dense. And then these smoothies. But the one thing I will pay some attention to is just protein intake, because it's, you know, give or take, you know, beyond energy intake. And, you know, we can touch on it, but, you know, whether you're in a deficit one day or maintenance or surplus the next, plus or minus small 100 figures, you can gain muscle there or thereabouts as long as your training's on point, but you need to hit your protein to maximize that gain. So I do pay attention to, you know, my smoothie will always have enough protein to hit, say, leucine threshold. The meals I have definitely always have enough protein for that. And if I have not trained, for instance, I'll make maybe the extra effort to have a shake before bed, for instance. So that's the only thing I would roughly pay any attention to in a day. Have I had enough protein? Or like sometimes I'll have a cup of tea with a protein bar in the morning, but the protein bar I know doesn't hit leucine threshold. So I'll genuinely just go and just put a little bit of powder in some water and have like a mini shake to boost it up. I go to that degree on my protein just to make sure I get enough.
Yeah, I think it is, you know, protein is super important for muscle gain. So, and I feel like, I don't know if you can relate to this, but for me, it's definitely one that if I didn't pay attention to it, I would probably be low on if I didn't like actually focus on it. I feel like that's where
that's most people interesting. Fall. Do you? Because I hear there's so many guys with big appetites and they just, like, I genuinely just wouldn't eat protein like half the time. I just would eat bread and pasta, and I have to try so hard. But I hear some people like, oh no, I just love, like, I love a steak, but I wouldn't crave it, like, or you know, I find it effort sometimes to go, oh, I need to eat some chicken, but I could happily eat a loaf of bread, just because I don't know, it's just my preference, it's what I want to eat. And so it's just interesting to hear that you're, you know, you saying something similar there, because I just find, I say guys, it's just they're generally the ones I've noticed with sort of big appetites, and they're just, yeah, I eat so much protein, I love eating chicken all the time. But yeah, so that is one that if you're like us, I guess you do have to pay a bit more attention to.
Yeah, I'm the same way as you. I like, you know, I would definitely go towards stuff that is lower in protein. Like I definitely, like I said, have to really watch that. I wonder too, if with the guy thing, it's more of an ego thing, like, oh yeah, I eat all this meat, you know, type of situation too, where, but I definitely, but yeah, protein's definitely the tough one. And like you said, I mean, it's so important for building muscle. Is there anything too, like that you would like body weight or anything else that you'll maybe like track to like, make sure you're kind of on point there with what you're doing?
No, honestly, no. And I'm probably not the pet, you know, it's funny when this is why I often talk about stuff, you know, in terms of, I've done quite a lot of posts recently about people not judging people based on their appearance, because, you know, again, in the world of the online digital world where people have filters, people, you know, I find it crazy anyone would Photoshop their pictures, but just, you obviously have these real geeks who have attention to detail, and they're like, look at this, and they'll like zoom in and you'll see like, look at the window frame in the background of this person's picture, you can see how it's bendy, that means they've stretched their bicep or their bum, or, and I'm like, geez, like I never would have known that. And I also think, I can't believe anyone would do that. So, you know, in the world where that exists, in the world where people can, you know, lots and lots of people for, and I have no judgment of, obviously, of anyone using performance enhancing drugs, if they're a bodybuilder, if they're a competitor, like, I don't like when people cheat, I don't like when people lie, but, you know, each to their own in terms of what you want to put in your body. But people need to then bear that in mind with regards to, like I said, filters, Photoshop, performance enhancing drugs, you know, even surgery, all of these different things. And then on top of all that, genetics. And you get people going, oh, you know, listen to so-and-so, that person knows nothing because they don't look a certain way. And you know, like, look at all of my professors at university who are infinitely more knowledgeable on nutrition, and they couldn't care less about the way they looked. Like they, you know, they basically never stepped foot out of the lab. So they were all, I know some of them did a bit, but it, you know, lots of these people are just hyper intelligent, and they're not just this fitness industry freaks that the rest of us might be. And, you know, so with regards to your question, I don't do anything. I'm so lazy these days. I think I'm not, which I think is good and bad, in that I just have great life balance now. And it's not to say that people who are really in it, I think it's great to be obsessed, to be great. I think you have to be obsessed at least one time or another. So I was obsessed with nutrition. I was obsessed with reading research. I was obsessed with altering my own nutrition. And those things taught me so much. And then I maybe just got to an age or a life stage or children or whatever business. And it just became such a smaller thing. So I will occasionally track body weight just purely for interest, but it can change by a massive amount, and I won't change a single thing. I'll just carry on doing what I'm doing. But when I want to achieve a goal, I will track stuff. So if I go and do my 3-week, whatever, rapid fat loss phase, I'll track body weight daily for interest's sake. And I'll do progress photos and stuff. Like, again, I guess you could say that I always take these gym selfies and make jokes on my Instagram stories. It's a form of tracking. I can see some visual changes here and there, but not much else. No.
Yeah. It sounds like, I mean, like you said, you kind of put in the work like years ago, and you learned a lot, and now you're kind of relying on those habits that you built during that time. And it kind of allows you to have a little bit more freedom and balance with all this. And I think that's really cool. That's probably where most people want to get at some point. But yeah, I think that's a good place to be in. And like you said, you're only going, you know, maybe when you have a specific goal or whatnot, then you'll start to kind of like dive, you know, get a little bit deeper into it in terms of tracking body weight and things like that. But other than that, I think the other thing too, that, you know, I've learned with muscle and like building it, and it, I think it becomes like, you, once you kind of know the, like how to do it and like how tough it is to lose muscle, I feel like you almost don't like stress about the small things anymore. And you just kind of just focus on staying consistent with it. Right. And one thing that I feel like probably works for you, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it sounds like, again, you have all this knowledge with nutrition and whatnot, and like you've put in the work there to learn that. You've gone through many different phases of training nutrition, and you just have a good like overall diet, like base diet. And like that probably really helps you in terms of like not having to worry about your body weight going one way or the other at that point.
Yeah, I do think once you've got consistency, I mean, even with lots of people, if you look at, say, some of the data on the way people gain body fat, for instance, like as in the general population, people's, you know, if you take someone, you go like, let's look at them prospectively over 10, 20 years. And in that time frame, 10 years, you're like, oh, they've gained 20 kilos of body weight. And, you know, now they're more unhealthy and they want to change their habits and get healthier, etc. But if you look at the tracking of how body weight changes, it's just not linear. And a lot of what happens is kind of seasonal, celebrational, festive period weight gain is a lot where it happens. So it's kind of like a stepwise fashion. Like you'll get this, you know, 2 to 4, whatever pound weight gain around this festive season. And then things are fairly consistent. And then they'll do that again year on year. And obviously over 2 years, that's where lots of people, did I say two? Over 10 years, that's where people end up with this weight gain. So being consistent, you know, and a level of self-monitoring, we know that body weight maintenance is, you know, highly correlated to self-monitoring practices. So a rough idea of what your body weight is can help people to go, okay, you know, in my late 20s, I tended to weigh 80 kilos. And in my late 30s, I'm tending to weigh this, and it's kind of creeping up, and maybe my habits, or maybe this new job that I got where I'm no longer walking, whatever, you know, just this some self-awareness. We know the research points towards some level of self-monitoring being being helpful. So, but once, yeah, you just have, I have such a consistent, boring life. And I, you know, I've been eating nothing but these meals. Unless I go on a date or something weird happens, I literally just eat these meals. So, you know, unless it's like a, just a random occurrence of something, I eat the same, you know, there is good variety within these meals, but like I said, they're all roughly the same calories, roughly the same protein and plus or minus on the carbs and fats. So, you know, and my steps a day are always almost exactly the same. My training is, you know, it does vary. Once, sometimes it's zero, sometimes it's four, but average it over 3 months, it's all the same. So I think you're right. It's once you've got that consistency, it's just, you don't need to be hyper vigilant of everything. And it's quite freeing. And I think you said it, lots of people would like to get there. I think lots of coaches should probably adapt some of their coaching to help their clients get there. I talk about coaching people to live rather than coaching people to diet. But both things need to happen. And rather than people going, oh, you need to change your life in a consistent way. And you've probably heard me say this on some of my rapid fat loss stuff. It's like, no, actually you can do something real, really different in your fat loss phase. As long as you have the baseline healthy habits that are aligned with, it's kind of the longevity of your goals. But yeah, I'll stop talking.
I think that's great. I like that, you know, coaching for life, because that is important, right? I mean, people, we know people can lose weight, but you know, what do people struggle with the most? They struggle with like the maintenance of that. And I think it's because they think that it's the same thing, but it's not. You know, you still, like, things aren't going to completely change, but you obviously still have to make lifelong changes. But I think, again, that just shows that people aren't, they know how to like do a certain protocol to get weight off, but then it's like, how do they keep it that way? And I think that's where most people struggle, right? And I think the research shows that as well.
And it sucks as well to live a life calorie counting. Like some, you know, someone sort of fairly, anyway, I think he had logged for like 6 years on MyFitnessPal. And I was like, sheesh, like what a way to live. But all, you know, fair play to him. If he's enjoying it, happy days. But, you know, from working with hundreds, if not thousands of clients, I know a lot of them don't want to live a life where they're going to be calorie counting every single day, especially once they've reached their goals. So if all they know is calorie counting, it does leave them in a position where, and this is a big deal now, like this, this obsession, this poor relationship with food, this inability to be flexible in that I can't be sociable because I can't calorie count. And if I'm unable to weigh my food or unable to track this meal effectively, it gives me anxiety. We just end up with these people just kind of nervous wrecks around food, and food should be life-giving. It's such a huge part of relationships and society and these kind of things. And if all we ever do is calories, I'm definitely not anti calorie counting at all. I'm just, when people are, we wrote MNU in a specific way that we wanted to undermine the thought that teaching someone to calorie count is life giving and empowering. Like it is to an extent, in that it suddenly goes, oh my goodness, I can eat some of my favorite foods. I don't need to cut out food groups or specific foods or specific macronutrients. But then on the flip side, an understanding around non-tracking methods of either weight loss or weight maintenance, that's where your coaching to live comes in.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm glad you kind of pointed out too that you're not anti-calorie counting. It's
not at all.
it's a tool, right? But I think people sometimes, it's a tool that you can use. And I think sometimes people put maybe, I don't know how I want to say this, but they think that like, that's like some certain way to lose fat, but it's like, it's just a tool to kind of show you how these things work. And like you said, it gives you that flexibility essentially, which is nice. But again, I feel like the flexibility can potentially get taken too far as well with that. Cool. Well, I think that was a good summary of everything. And